Well, hello.
Hi.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Shamers Creek Incas and Iris podcast. I'm Joshua Otis Megascaps Potter.
I'm Justin Rutabaga Raymond. Have you settled on Megascaps?
Otis Megascaps, you can just call me Omega.
Okay, Omega.
Here at Shamers Creek, we like to keep our eyes and ears tuned to the unfolding seasons around us.
With the Incas and Iris podcast, we hope to bring color and focus to the sights and sounds of the natural world. And we welcome you to join us in this adventure.
What a great time of year, Rutabaga. Get outside in the cold winter weather.
Yeah, with a bit of snow on the ground, we can find some interesting evidence of the activity of animals we normally wouldn't see.
Yeah, so Rutabaga, if you had to guess, you think most animals here in central Pennsylvania are active during the day or night?
Whoo, that's a tough one, but I'm gonna guess night.
You are correct, sir. Yeah.
Is the word for that nocturnal?
You got it. So while we are mostly diurnal, we're active mostly during the day. Mm-hmm. Majority of our mammals and animals here in central Pennsylvania are nocturnal.
And quite a diverse array of animals, right?
Yeah. We hardly get to see them in the daylight.
But with a fresh coat of snow on the ground, it's kind of like a blank canvas for animals to leave evidence of their activities.
That's right. So if we go out in the woods right now, we can interpret that canvas, interpret the story that happened the night before.
Yeah. So we've been going on a few walks in the woods around Shavers Creek after some recent snowfall this past month, and we've recorded some of our findings.
We brought a recorder along just to see what we'd find.
Yeah, you really don't need much else.
No, anyone can go tracking with very little resources. All you really need is a small ruler and some sort of track guide or track book that you can compare measurements to. Mm-hmm. We here at Shavers Creek, we used a little card called a mammal tracker that has both a ruler and some information on tracks on it. And it's small enough to just slip in a pocket, put in your wallet.
That's awesome. And it's not a bad idea to bring along a camera, too. That way you can take a picture of the track and share it with your family and identify it back at your house.
That's right.
So before someone goes out looking for tracks, what are the basics that they need to know that'll help them get started?
Great. That's a great question, Rutabaga. So I like to break it down into the three P's of tracking.
Patience?
Well, that is a virtue.
It's a virtue.
Not one of the three
not
P's.
Not one of the three P's.
No, they are place, pattern, and print. I'll just go real quickly through those.
Okay. Place, pattern, print.
So place would be the habitat, time of year, things like that. So if we're trying to narrow down our options, what are the animals we'd expect to see here in central PA in the first place? And in a particular habitat, a coniferous forest versus a deciduous forest. And what time of year, like during the wintertime, we're not likely going to see woodchuck or groundhog tracks.
That makes sense.
Yep. So the second P would be pattern. Here in central PA, we have four distinct mammal track patterns that we can lump most of our mammals into.
Okay, four distinct patterns.
Yes. So there's two walkers and two, we can say, jumpers or leapers. Mm-hmm. So the four patterns are perfect walker, wide walker, leaper, and bounder.
Okay. Perfect walker, that is...
Perfect walkers. Want to take a guess what's in that group?
My guess is deer, elk, things with long legs.
Yes.
So cats, dogs.
Yes. So these four track pattern groups generally share some physical characteristics that make their patterns look similar. So the perfect walkers have the long legs, kind of bend them in when they walk, so the tracks actually look like they're almost in a straight line.
Uh-huh.
So as you mentioned, deer, elk, the dog family, so we have coyotes, red fox, gray fox, and then bobcats.
Bobcats.
Yeah. So then the second walkers are the wide walkers. So these ones have actually short legs.
So these are kind of your waddlers.
Yeah, our waddling group, that's right. And their back feet are a little bigger than their front feet as well.
Okay, so beavers.
Mm-hmm. Muskrat.
Muskrat.
Woodchuck or groundhog. Mm. Possum. Raccoon. Skunk. Bear. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Third pattern track type. Yeah, the leapers.
Leapers.
So these leapers and bounders are our jumpers. The leapers have much larger back feet than their front feet are smaller. And the bounders have about similar sized front feet and back feet.
Okay.
So the leapers.
Rabbit.
Rabbit, hare, squirrels, chipmunks, mice, shrew, voles.
That makes total sense.
All right. And then our bounders are our weasel family, the last group. So we have our otter, mink, fisher, short-tailed weasel, long-tailed weasel, least weasel, marten.
So these are ones whose bodies sort of bunch up as they jump.
That's right. They have long bodies, very short legs, And they have to leap it off, and we'll see slides. You know, otters love to slide down riverbanks in snow or on a muddy riverbank. So there are bounders, and they go two, like almost like two perfect walkers walking next to each other.
Okay, so each style of walker has a different pattern.
Each mammal has a different track pattern, that's right. Third and final P, so we've gone through the steps of place and pattern, and now we're really zooming in on the pattern and looking at the print.
Print.
Third P is print. So looking at number of toes, shape, how big the feet are, how far apart they are, and we'll talk more about that out in the field.
So the more detail you can see in the print, the more clues you have as to what the animal was.
That's right.
Why don't we play for our listeners what happened when we came across our first track?
Sounds good. Cut to the tape.
All right, Vega. Stop here, see some tracks off the trail. Let's go investigate.
Yeah.
All right, so, okay. So what we have here is we have some grass and some sticks poking up through the snow crust. And around each puff of plants, there is a little hole going down underneath the crusty snow.
So there is.
And between those two holes, we have a little set of tracks. So I got my mammal tracker here. And I'm going to measure the straddle, so how far from the outside of each foot the track is. It looks like we have only about two and a half centimeters. So 2.5 centimeters wide. So pretty small. Each footprint is only about 1.5 centimeters long and only about 0.5 centimeter wide. And I'm going to mark off
the distance between.
Yep, from toe to toe. So this animal is leaping. So it's not a walker. It's a leaper. So it's kind of, we're going to measure how far it's jumping or leaping through the snow. So I'm going to mark it off. So 9, 18, 23 centimeters. So for an animal that only has a 2.5 centimeter straddle, 23 centimeters is a kind of a long jump. So
some kind of rodent is my guess.
So good, nice thinking, Vega. So yeah, we're in our leapers, which, if you'll remember, includes our rabbits and our hares, our squirrels, chipmunks, mice, and voles. And so the other thing here is not seeing a tail drag.
No. It looks like the feet are scraping.
Yeah, feet are scraping on the jump, in the leap, but no tail drag. So one difference we see between mice, our deer mice and things in the woods, and the meadow voles, is that the voles have a shorter tail, and therefore when they're jumping, we don't see the tail drag as often. So I'm gonna look at a meadow vole first of all, and their footprints are usually one and a third by 1 1/3. Their straddle is 2.5 to 4.5 centimeters,
okay,
which fits in right about where we are, and their leap is actually only 3.25 to 8 centimeters long.
Oh.
So they're not very big jumpers.
No.
Deer mice, on the other hand.
What are we looking for? 23 about.
Yeah, 23 centimeters. So in this case, the deer mouse has a leap between 5 and 40 centimeters.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So they get around.
That is significantly different.
That is a big difference. So I'm thinking, even though we don't see the tail drag here, I mean, we do see the drag with the feet, so maybe maybe the tail drag is being obliterated there. So I think we're looking at a mouse of some
wow
variety.
So it's gone from plant to plant, and then it's dunked into the subnivian layer.
Yeah, so subnivian, so below the snow. There's a whole other world down there under the snow layer in the wintertime.
Super helpful for them, right? They are hidden from the watchful eyes of birds of prey.
And weasels and bobcat and fox. So a whole range of predators out there that this gets them kind of out of the sight.
Speaking of predators, rutabaga.
Yeah.
You know, you and I got a chance to go out to the gate at Chambers Creek this past week. And we saw a pretty cool predator-prey interaction.
Yeah, we sure did. I would definitely call that some evidence of animal activity.
That's right. The previous day, we had actually seen a red-tailed hawk, juvenile red-tailed hawk, that had caught and was eating a Virginia opossum.
And you saw this?
We saw this, yeah. A couple of students driving by saw it, and we went back and we checked out the evidence the next day of this grisly scene.
Yeah, and we brought school programs coordinator Kate Jordan along with us.
Yep, Ladybird. Ladybird.
So, Rutabaga and I, today we have out in the field with us Ladybird, beetle, or just Ladybird?
Ladybird.
We have Ladybird out in the field with us today. Ladybird, what do you think about this opossum kill site here?
Well, it is definitely grisly, but it is really awesome to see nature at work and see what's going on. And think about all the animals that you don't see when you're out here, but there's stuff going on all the time that we don't witness. So it's cool to see evidence of that.
Indeed.
It's pretty great that if you were to have stumbled across this right mm-hmm. here, you'd say, oh my gosh, there's some internal organs and some hair and a bunch of tracks surrounding it. And you might not be clear as to what it is, but if you were to look just across the road here, you'd find the rest of the carcass.
That's right. And we can make some suppositions about, you know, we see some raptor footprints. We see some deer tracks coming through. We have a perfect walker deer track. We have some squirrel tracks. But this is a pretty big site, and those three big kind of areas where there must have been a struggle here, or three areas where the raptor kind of moved the animal as it was starting to eat it. Could have started to eat it here, and then been disrupted. Tried to move it a little bit, ate it some more, and we have some other animal sign too. Right nearby, we have, it looks like, some squirrel activity, burrowing down into the snow to get up some seeds, some cones from underneath the snow layer. So a lot happening right underneath this big spruce.
Yeah, and we don't see any possum tracks, so perhaps the opossum came just down out of the tree.
Or perhaps, you know, it's since last night it's warmed up. We had some rain today on top of the snow, so it's possible that you know, the possum was light enough that it could have left some light tracks that have been obliterated, or that it perhaps didn't leave tracks at all.
Would a red tail ever attack a possum on a tree? Halfway up a tree?
Maybe a quarter of the way up the tree. I don't know about halfway up the tree.
So, Justin, you and I both took the discovery semester here at Shavers Creek.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, wonderful semester. As you know, one of the classes in the discovery semester is, of course, RPTM 326 with Doug Wenzel, Natural History Interpretation.
What a great class.
What a great class. And part of that class in the wintertime is we learn about animal tracking, mammal tracking.
Yeah.
So you and I went out with the students, with Doug, just yesterday.
Yes.
And we saw some interesting signs. The snow has really gotten crusty, and so it wasn't great tracking snow. But, mm-hmm. but we found some other interesting animal signs along the way.
And I followed you with a microphone.
You followed us with a microphone. and let's hear some of the things we saw.
Yeah.
So, mammal sign or not?
Nope.
No, definitely animal sign. And very fresh as well. So what kind of tree is this animal working on here?
Eastern hemlock.
Eastern hemlock? And what animal is making this animal sign?
Pileated woodpecker.
Yeah, pileated woodpecker. Large, large kind of rectangular holes being excavated, and really neat. You can look into the that inner inner parts of the tree, inner layers of the tree there, heartwood. And what is the pileated looking for?
Insects,
yeah. Likely carpenter ants. If you can get at a good angle and look back in there, you can see the galleries of the ants that this bird is looking at.
It really is like a chisel. And if you look at a diagram of a woodpecker's bill, just the shape of it, and then also its built-in shock absorbent, mm-hmm. something really interesting to look at. Bone structure and how the tongue attaches.
They have air pockets in their head too to absorb the.
Again, if you're you think you're a carpenter ant, right? You know, the sisterhood, you're in there, you think you're nice and safe, and the next thing you know, bam, 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 someone's knocking on your head, just. and they're, you know, just ripping it apart, and then in comes this barbed tongue. It's also sticky, and it's just pulling your sisters out of that cavity left and right. I mean, you know, you think of birds and think, oh, they're so beautiful. They are vicious little hunters, woodpeckers, even little chickadees, kinglets, you know, they serious hunters, serious predators. Next time it snows too, you can use wood chips just to age, you know, how fresh is it? You get a layer of snow and come down and find the wood chips above the snow. You can kind of piece it together and say, yeah, it just happened last night or this week.
Tucked inside the buttresses of the hemlock around back is this scat. Get hazard to guess what they think it might be?
Porcupine?
How would you describe it?
Kidney green beans. And
kidney beans. If I flip
oblong,
the greener eye was what was facing down. This was what was facing up. What color is that?
Brown, green,
kind of brownish, reddish.
Red.
Little kidney beans. So, I don't. I might agree with the porcupine. Keep your eye out. Any other counter suggestions?
Porcupine would have a lot of look almost like sawdust in it. If it's dry, really break apart.
Yep, they're great tree climbers. And they'll work on eating this cambium layer, but higher up on a tree.
What a great tree! Porcupine, scat, pileated woodpecker. Oh!
That was great. Of course, tracking doesn't have to end whenever the snow melts.
No, with all that snow melt, we've got a nice layer of mud to look for tracks in.
That's right. And when you're at the beach, if you know, check out the moist sand by where the waves are coming in. You can see tracks of sandpipers, other creatures that have been by. So yeah, mud, sand, snow, all good mediums to find tracks in.
Man, tracking is really, it's a delight. And you don't need much to do it. You take your little mammal tracker and you get out there and explore.
And if you don't have that, you can always look for other animal signs, you know, woodpecker holes, deer brows, scat.
We could
talk about scat.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Sure is. We got a whole pile of things we could talk about with regards to scat.
How about it?
Whatever you do, though, we just urge you to get outside, check out the natural world.
Yeah. Never stop discovering. Friends, your family, your children, your parents. So we hope you enjoyed the first episode of the Incas and Iris podcast.
We hope you'll join us again next time when we'll talk about some other interesting natural history topic.
Who knows?
Who knows what we'll find or talk about? I don't know.
I don't know either.
It'll be great.
It's going to be awesome.
All right. Hey, later.
Signing off. I'm Rutabaga.
And I'm Omega. Vega and Omega. Signing off.